Thank you for that, though. Welcome back to the show. Very happy to have Pat White in studio with us. You know, people say, well, the dual threat quarterback, those guys don't last very long the way you could run. But now we see guys in the NFL all over the place mm-hmm. that can do this kind of thing. And even Russell Wilson can do it. A big kid like Kaepernick does it as well. Do you think that people just so badly want to fit you in this cookie cutter? If you got to drop back 7 steps, you got to be able to, you know, throw that out. You forget about taking off and running. How much of that did they say, wait a minute, this guy's an actual weapon?
I think people are afraid of change. For what reason, I don't know. We live in America, which is pretty much a melting pot and always changing. So for them to be afraid of that change is undescribable for me. Or I don't really understand why, but I mean, it's starting to change. You're seeing more and more mobile quarterbacks. I mean, even there were a few back in the day. They might not have been in the spread offense running around, but there were guys that could move around and were mobile.
Take me back a little bit, because your first two bowl wins, and we're talking about, you know, these BCS bowls, as we call them now, Sugar Bowl, Gator Bowl, Georgia Tech, respectively. Both those games are the same final score, 38-35. Nip and tuck, could have gone either way. When I talk about those first two bowls, like similarities and differences for you there?
The Sugar Bowl versus Georgia, we jumped out early. And they had to play catch up. I always like to say if there was maybe 10 more minutes on the clock, the game could have turned out different, but we play a 60-minute ball game, so we came out victorious. Georgia Tech, no disrespect to the guys in the secondary that were there, but the first half, we couldn't cover Calvin Johnson. And I don't think anybody in the world can.
Who can?
Yeah, so, I mean, they were throwing the ball up, and he was catching over 3 and 4 defenders. And then the second half, it was like they forgot that he was on the field. So I still question what their coach was thinking, but, I mean, I appreciate it. It gave us the victory.
Well, now the next year, you play in the Fiesta Bowl, another huge one, speaking of Arizona. Oklahoma, and I know some people thought Oklahoma would win that game. You guys destroyed Oklahoma in that game. What was it that you guys – what was the separation in that game where it's just like, okay, that's it. You guys are in the rearview mirror now.
Going into that was pretty tough for us because we just lost a chance to go to a BCS game. We beat UConn with 66-21, then come back the following week and lose to Pitt 13-9. You know, that still stings to talk about, oh boy. But Coach Stu, Lord bless his soul, kept us together. I mean, he showed us what being a true Mountaineer is about, and it carried over into the game. He led us, and we just fought from there. I mean, it was a very lax situation. I mean, we were there for business, but he didn't make it tough on us. He made it pretty easy.
Very happy to have Pat White in studio with us for another round here. Any questions for Pat, feel free to get in. Any Mountaineer fans out there, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Pat, I want to get back a little bit to your time with the Redskins, because you were out of the game for a little bit there. And was it kind of a thing where you had the itch, or did they come to you and say, man, you're still a young dude, we think you can help us out?
Actually, Edmonton came to me. They showed interest. Went to meet with their director of player personnel, and he was in Mobile, which is around the senior it was around Senior Bowl time. I went to meet with him, and then just decided it would be smart for me to walk out and start shaking hands and show people my face, let them know I was interested, and from there I got a contract. So
very nice. Now, what is, because the CFL, we, you know, we always joke there are only 8 teams and 2 are named Rough Riders. But when I was a kid, and some of the players that would, like Freddie Biletnikoff, he went to play in Canada for the Argos. I know that. No, he went to the Alouettes. But, you know, you think about Rocket Ismail, someone like Doug Flutie, the guys that went up there and kind of like proved to the NFL, look, I can play. Give me another shot. We already talked about Warren Moon, and he was up there for another reason, obviously. But what is the competition like? Because for me, when I hear a 55-yard line, I'm like, what? And then you can throw a fade from the 5-yard line because the end zones are so deep, and you're punting on third down. How long, as an American, how long did it take you to rewire your brain?
I'm still new to the game, so there's still some rules that I need to learn. I mean, but it's a fun game and a competitive sport. I mean, everybody's goal is to get back to the NFL.
Sure.
But if you can extend your career and get paid to play a game, that hopefully you love, and that's why you're out there, then why not go do it? Why
not? Well, you're being paid to play football.
Yes.
I don't care where that is. That's awesome. The other thing that freaks me out about the CFL, because it's a legal procedure here, is that the wide receivers can get a head start.
Oh, yeah.
They line up 10 yards deep, and by the time you snap it, they got a full head of steam going.
It's a love-hate relationship for the receivers with that, because there's 10 more yards of extra running that they got to do on top of what they already doing. And, I mean, it gives them sort of a little advantage on the corners.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, I was telling you, a former defensive, Division II DB,
mm-hmm.
it's hard enough to guard a guy when he's starting flat-footed. Yeah. I can't imagine trying to guard a guy who's full speed when the ball snaps.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's why you got to punt on third down with that advantage, right? Speaking to Pat White, Edmonton Eskimos, and, you know, one thing, and this might be a weird question, but the one, to me, the reward in a college football a bowl game is that the goodie bag. Everybody knows who Pat White is, but that 100th guy on the team, mm-hmm. who's like the fifth string long snapper, who's never going to play, he gets the same goodie bag that you get. So when I think about those goodie bags over the years, and every year they get crazier, you get an iPad, you get a ring, you get a watch, you get a bike and a PlayStation and a TV. What was the, can you tell me the best goodie bag you ever got for all those bowl games?
I think the year we won the Sugar Bowl, I wouldn't call it the best, but the most interesting thing we got was a mountain bike.
Mm.
And for us, we were in the mountains. And
everything was
either up or down or around the curve. So getting the mountain bike was, it was like, dang, are we not in shape or something? Are you trying to throw hints to us, right? But, I mean, that was the most interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. How much of that stuff did you just, like, give away? Or, I mean, I guess you get the ring, right, or the watch?
Yeah, I still have all my rings mm-hmm. and a few of the bowl watches. But all the gear that we get, I give to family. I mean, my mom and dad still have a lot. I mean, they do a lot of yard work in it, but still, they still wear mountaineer gear, so I appreciate it.
Speaking with Pat White, now, I'm a lifelong fan of the Raiders, being an Oakland guy, and for 11 years now, they haven't made the playoffs. They've gone through a lot of coaches. Obviously, the owner passed away. The son is running things. He hired a GM in Reggie McKenzie. He said he's going to be hands-off. They bring in Dennis Allen. From my dealings with him, he doesn't seem like a real leader of men, but, you know, back-to-back four-win seasons, and a lot of people have a lot of optimism coming into this season. I don't. I think they'll be one game better. I think they'll win five. But they had some pretty good defensive players in Tuck and Woodley, who are a little old, but Khalil Mack, love that pick. Mm-hmm. I like the David Carr pick to back up Schaub. But overall, when you know, as a guy from back east, you're looking at the Raiders. When you look at the Raiders, what do you think?
I see a gritty football team, blue collar, and I think that's who they need to bring in. That's the city. And I guess your team is a reflection of your city. And if you don't have that and it's not matching, I don't think it's going to work. So they just need to find gritty guys that are coming in and want to put in that blue-collar type of work.
Now, it's funny because Quentin Moss, former Auburn defensive end, when he came to the Raiders, he said, well, we all say this is where careers come to die. And I thought, oh, no. When they traded for Richard Seymour, first-round pick, he waited 2 weeks, and then he kind of begrudgingly showed up. And then they both said, once we got here, we saw the fans, mm-hmm. you know, and I always say, deep down, everybody wants to be a Raider. I don't care where you're from. You want to wear that shield. So is that true? Like, deep down, like, when you put on that silver helmet with that logo, that's just, as we would say, pimpier than putting on some stupid white helmet with a lightning bolt on it.
They look tough. And to be honest, growing up, park ball for me, we were the Vikings, and our rival were the Raiders. So I had a little distaste for them, but I always wanted to beat them. But, I mean, mm-hmm. when I watched them on the TV, I always thought that they look rough and tough, and that's how I like to emulate myself on the field.
Fair enough.
Small.
Speaking with Pat White, when you were with the Dolphins, and I guess Pennington was there, and mm-hmm. young Chad Henne was mm-hmm. there as well, who you're competing with. Henne now, I guess, is going to be the starter in Jacksonville while Bortles gets up to speed. You know, good quarterback at Michigan. What's your take on Henne as a starter this year, the guy who played with him?
He's a big guy with the live arm. Smart, knows the game of football. He just needs weapons around him. He needs playmakers. I mean, he can get the ball in your hand, but what are you going to do after that? I mean, he can't do everything himself. I mean, it's his job to put it in the guy's hand, but mm-hmm. he needs guys to make big plays for him. So,
No doubt. Now, you also tried out for the, and you were signed by the Virginia Destroyers of the United Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a team out here in Sacramento where mm-hmm. Jeff Garcia was the quarterback of that. And after that, your time in that league, and you were done there, is that when you kind of said, okay, look, I did the football thing. I played as long as I could. And that was before, you know, a couple of years you got back with the Vikings again. But did you kind of say to yourself, okay, there's really nowhere I can go here from now unless I want to play arena ball?
Arena ball never really crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was sort of after I got released by the Dolphins. I, for some reason, always told myself the first time that a team released me, that was a sign that I couldn't play and I wasn't good enough. So I put that in my head. And to get released twice, not only by the NFL, but going to the UFL and getting released there, was like, whoa. Can I not play? Who did mm-hmm. I lose it? But mm-hmm. once I got out of my head and started to, I guess, think about the blessings that I've been given
right.
and really appreciate them is when I could start using them again. So
Now I know when you were, not to interrupt you, but I know when you're with the Dolphins, Ike Taylor knocked you out cold. And oh, I was yeah. thinking about all the times you played quarterback in college and all the times you got ear holed and everything else. Was that the toughest, the worst hit you ever received?
No. There was a game at home my senior year. Actually, a year before, I got knocked out by Ike, where we were playing Rutgers, and there was a safety by the name of Courtney Green. Driving, we got down to about the two. Well, I was down to about the two, and instead of sliding feet first, I decided to slide head first, and he came in like a screwdriver and just helmet to helmet, and I was out on the ground. It was worse than what happened in Miami.
But well, Miami, because, the next day you drove yourself to practice, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But just because it wasn't televised, it wasn't as bad. But that one was definitely a lot worse than one in Miami.
Wake up with a little bit of a headache there?
No, I was fine. It just made me stay overnight in the hospital. But other than that, I was fine. I tried to roll over and get back in the game, is what the medical staff told me. But obviously,
that's what I try to tell people, too, is that the walking wounded, those guys that are standing over in their jeans and their jerseys, some of them on crutches, some of them have casts, you'll do anything you can not to be with them because it's so out of sight, out of mind. If you can't help them, you don't exist.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll do anything to stay on that field.
Can't make the club in the tub.
Absolutely. All right. And finally, tell us once again, the podcast, where can we check it out, or is it a work in progress?
It's a work in progress. We will be putting it up on iTunes sometime next week, but we're still working on a title or a name. So if you could message me on my Twitter at P5White with name suggestions, we would really appreciate it.
P5White, that's Pat White.